This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
That salt pad wearing off on you a little
bit. It is.
Bit.
I need to get back to the salt pad. You know what it is? It's I just got to get some get going. I just, you know.
Is that it?
Just got to get going. Started.
Yeah.
Just got
hard to get with a can't get a got to get a screen to get the dribble going.
I mean, I have one gear right now. I don't have the ETN shifted to another level and let's go.
Can't roll off the screen. Like can't do anything with the basketball once it's in your hand.
I'm setting picks all day.
Setting picks.
Can't make a shot.
Well, it's a good thing we got Brownell on the show here. Because,
thank goodness.
Yeah, he can
power hour.
It is the power hour. Clemson head basketball coach Brad Brownell, ready to ride. Hello, coach. How are you?
I'm well. How you guys doing?
Packers.
You guys call me to talk about the football game, I'm sure, right?
No.
We're going to talk about the national championship game, aren't we?
No. You know what? If we want to talk about the national championship game, we'd bring on the football coach. If we want to talk about the world champions, we bring on the basketball coach. The football coach is busy.
Hey, football coach is busy this week. He ain't talking to you guys. He's got better things to do than that.
It's like you said, Dabo want to impress me, go win a world championship, right?
That's it.
Well, he's got a little work to do, but I tell you what, a third national championship, that's going to get something done around here, I'll tell you that. top of the mountain for my man.
All right. Well, first of all, I've already made this comment before we brought you on that you need to work out a deal with West Durham to do every one of your games, because when I turned it on Saturday, I said, man, look at these Clemson Tigers. These dudes are actually making shots left and right. That was a good game Saturday. Now your boys played well.
Yeah, we did. Thanks, Pack. It was, probably our best performance of the year. And Wes cannot take, credit for it though. He missed the shoot around, the day before. he was coming down to practice. The weather, it was traffic and bad weather. And I know he was on his way to try to get there, but he can't take credit for it until he comes to shoot around or practice.
I hate to break the news to you. It had nothing to do with weather. It had nothing to do with I-85. It had everything to do with going back for thirds at the Smoking Pig.
Yeah,
there's some truth to that, too.
He put that on me. Your team, I mean, did you see something Saturday? Because I know how hard the loss was the previous Tuesday against Miami in overtime. What did you see Saturday, though, that you're like, you know what, maybe the light did come on with my team?
You know what, we play with good confidence. We got off to a good start offensively, got a couple layups, and made a couple shots early. Certainly the first half we played about as well as we can play. We made 8 threes. We got to the basket. You know, we finished the game by making a lot of free throws, and I think we had 18 assisted baskets. We just did a lot of good things in the game offensively. And I think the confidence that happened early in the game really just held true for the first time for us for the full 40 against a really good opponent.
All right. I want to ask you about your particular situation, but also as it falls in line with what seemingly is happening across the conference, and that is injuries. And you and I talked about it before the ball game on Saturday. But, Coach, in all honesty, it's happening everywhere. I mean – there's not a team that doesn't seem to be touched one way or another by injuries. How impactful? I know yours are impactful, but this is seemingly happening in this league like we haven't seen in a long, long time with just about everybody.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, I don't know as coaches if we need to examine some things because, you know, we have more access with players. Guys are playing year round all the time. We're working with them more. They're conditioning and working with strength coaches more. I don't know if some of it's overuse. Some of it's just, you know, bad luck. Obviously we had the two ACL tears right before we went to, the World University Games. And so that kind of put us behind. And then you have a transfer who's sitting out and now you're down to 10 scholarship guys real quick. A couple more guys get hurt. And just like our team this year, we've played, you know, I think we've played 80% of our games with 8 scholarship players. And we're not the only school that's doing that. There's a lot of schools that have had guys go down. And, you know, if you have it in the wrong position, it's a real problem. And for us, it was hard because we basically had one point guard until Clyde Trapp came back. So we played the first, you know, 9-10 games with just one guard. And that's problematic for most people, but certainly, with that guy being a freshman on our team this year, that's difficult at this level.
All right, let's talk about your next game this weekend. You're taking on a, as I found out earlier today, and not a very gifted team. Saturday in Chapel Hill. What's your take on that statement?
I don't need to comment about it, Roy and his team. He's coaching his team. I'm coaching mine. We got plenty of problems down here at Clemson for me to worry about our guys. But they have good players it's obviously a very difficult place for us to play. And we got to play really well. If we can play like we did against NC State, we're going to have a chance.
Do you bring up the streak at all, Brad, or is this just say, hey, whatever it is, we're going to go play well to win the game? Or does it ever come up in conversation during the week?
Well, it comes up because you guys bring it up all the time to our players and to our staff. But we don't talk about it much, to be honest with you. I got 7 new players. Most of my guys, there'll be some guys on my team that don't even know about it. It's just another game on our schedule. It's certainly, we would be a huge win if we could go up there and do it. But our team just needs to continue to get better and try to build on the game that we had against State.
Well, it's interesting because you get a week off following that game and there's some things about your team. You mentioned Clyde Trapp's return. I think it's hard to say if he'll be 100% before the season is over, but he gets a few more days to kind of, gauge his return a little bit, soreness and those type things. Where do you hope you can get with him? I think the combination of he and Alamir Dawes on the floor the other day worked well for you in the second half.
No, it did. It gives us two very good ball handlers and decision makers and takes some pressure off some other players. And I think Clyde being on the court really takes a lot of pressure off of Al, which is good. He's a freshman who competes his tail off, but he's got a lot to learn to play at this level. And be a successful player night in, night out. So having Clyde out there with him, I think just settles him down a little bit. We're able to move the ball in some different areas and, we can have Clyde come off some pick and rolls and share some responsibilities. And so getting him back has been really good. I don't know if any of these guys who have ACL tears that first year back, if those guys are really ever 100%. I don't think they are. It's really remarkable that a guy like Clyde Trapp can come back and play in 6 months. Amari Rogers on the football team comes back and is able to play for Dabo this year in the same situation. But I don't think they're 100% healthy either. I think that's going to take more like a year to get back.
Amir Sims has done a lot of good things for you this season. It really seemed like he took an even bigger leadership role in your win against NC State. I mean, he was directing people left and right all over the place.
Yeah, he's a very good player for us, and it's kind of what we expected. We thought he would make this kind of growth as a junior, and he really led our team in the World University Games over in Italy, and that's where he got his chance to kind of be the captain of this team, and I think he handled it very well. He's a very bright young man. He's got a great personality. He's a good player. He's an undersized center in this league, but he is a guy that can stretch the court, make threes, dribble and pass, and plays the game the right way with a big smile on his face. And he's just a fun guy to be around and a really good player and leader.
All right, I got to ask the coaching question. Does he have the green light from three, or is it one of those yellow trending to green lights?
No, he's got the green light. He's a guy that can shoot the ball for us. And we want him to have a mix to his game. We don't want him to fall in love with the three, but certainly we think he needs to stretch the defense and open up the basket area so that other guys can get to the rim by taking the opposing team's center away from the basket.
Coach, what's one thing that surprised you so far about the ACC? I know we're only a handful of games in the conference play, but we've been playing for 2 months. Give me one or two things that's kind of surprised you, whether it be good, bad, you tell me, about the league so far.
Well, I do think all the injuries is problematic. When you lose really good players and lose some depth, it changes your team and it changes your practice habits. It changes what you're able to do as a coach in terms of how you want to change in a game. I think that's one thing. It's interesting right now that there doesn't look like there's maybe one dominant team. Maybe Duke is that team. I think Louisville is still fantastic and Chris does a great job with those guys. And we obviously played Florida State already this year and we know what kind of team they have, and they have the kind of depth that most teams don't. And I think that proves to help them. But the last couple years, obviously last year was crazy. We had 3 number one seeds. The last couple years, I think we've had a little bit more experienced players coming back. And certainly this year, it seems a little bit more wide open than maybe most years that I've been at Clemson.
So when you look at your decade or so coaching in this league, and now you start to look at the way this sets up, what does that tell you about, you know, singular focus maybe even is more important this year?
Yeah, I think you just got to keep coaching and keep teaching. I think that's what's really important, is that you just keep worrying about your team and keep teaching your team. And it's a long season. Obviously, now adding to 20 ACC games makes it a marathon even more. When I first got here, it was 16, and now we're up to 20. So it's, you know, it's really almost 70% of your season. And so you just got to keep hanging in there. There's a lot of time left for your team to get better, and hopefully, you know, you can start to play some good basketball at some point, catch fire. I do think you can't overreact. I think you're going to have good weeks and bad weeks. And, you know, one of the things I've always said that's difficult about these jobs and in this league is you can play really well and lose because you're playing a very good opponent in a difficult environment. And then if you don't play well, you're most certainly going to lose. And so you've got to make sure as a coach that you – keep a good, happy medium there, and that you understand the pulse of your team, and try to make sure you concentrate on your guys just getting better. And hopefully, you can flip it at some point and start to put some wins together and build some positive momentum.
All right. As you well know, this program in 94 shows has been built on a couple different pillars. One is gear, and you've been kind to contribute to that process. However, your purple pullover has caught the eye of several already here in this brief moment. Is that from the Larry Pinley? Is that from the Larry Pinley collection, by the way? Is that something one would acquire from the Clemson golf program?
No, you know what? It's not. I'll give a plug to M.H. Frank in the clothing store downtown. This is an M.H. Frank design. And it's very comfortable, very good for television shows, 18-hole golf rounds. It can be used in a variety of ways. I know you would love it for the golf, Wes.
Yeah, Packer would love it for walking the streets of New Orleans. Yeah.
Well, I will say this.
I don't know about the salt mine or wherever that Pack went to get health. I don't know if you wear these to that or not.
No. Well, you know what? You could pull that off of the salt pad. But I will say this about M.H. Frank.
Yeah.
They've been in business even when I was in school. I mean, they have been in there. They've been there for 1,000 years. It's your kind of place.
Did Billy go down there and spend a little money at M.H. Frank's in the day?
Billy did not spend any money anywhere, much less M.H. Frank. But no, that'd be a West Durham kind of place.
Brad, I'll just say this.
Hey, are we seriously not going to talk a little bit of football here? I mean, that's a national championship. My man's got a chance to win his third title.
Timeout. I want.
You guys full. I want you guys on record for like what you think. I mean, how we're going to win this game. Like, you got one. Come on, give me one statement. You're supposed to be analysts.
I'll give you one right now. If they run the ball on LSU, they will win the game.
Red zone defense. You've already seen. There's three great teams in college football, Coach. Three. Clemson's already beaten one. The reason they won the game, great red zone defense. You got to prevent LSU from the big play, which they can do, much like Clemson.
Yep.
You know, if they want to just nickel and dime you like Alabama did a year ago, and then you clamp down on them in the red zone, that's how you win the game. And if ETN runs, you keep the ball away from Joe Burrow, ball game. See you later.
There you go. There it is.
I agree with that. Let me ask you this question, all right? So I thought about this with the Ohio State game. Being the great football analyst that I am, we couldn't make any downfield passing, really, right? Like, obviously, with Chase Young, like, we couldn't – it was like three-step drops and get it out quick and – like last year against Alabama, we were able to throw over the top deep. You're going to be able to do a couple of those. We're going to be able to hit the frisbee catching dogs for some touchdown passes, as you like to say, Pat.
Well, first of all, you know, the other guys got good players too. You just gave me that line with the Roy Williams quote I gave you. give a tip of the hat to Ohio State's defensive backs. They are really talented.
No question.
Big time. And those are Sunday dudes on Sunday dudes. And I also think that, you know, T got banged up. Justin Ross got banged up. They weren't necessarily 100%. It's not an excuse, but Ohio State's defensive backs were excellent. LSU's got great corners too. Delpit back there.
Delpit's
Stingley's a real good deal. I mean, so it won't be easy, but I don't think LSU's defense is nearly as good as Ohio State's.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, I agree with that. And our boy, Trevor Lawrence showed pretty good of himself the other day too. I tell you what, it was remarkable for him to get up after being almost knocked unconscious on that hit to show the kind of resiliency he did. I thought that really, I thought that was a remarkable situation, a turn in events, really. I think that's inspiring to the whole football team to watch your quarterback get hit like that. And then for that kid to stand up there and start running the ball the way he was, I thought that was the difference in the game.
Let me ask you a question. How does Monday night work for you guys? Is that a team event, or do you send everybody to their neutral corners for fear of the emotions in the night might get the best of some of them? How does that work?
You know what? Yeah, we'll have a team meeting. We play the Duke Blue Devils on Tuesday, ironically. So we're hoping that all our fans will be right back on planes and headed back to Little John on Tuesday. But we'll have a night meeting and get some food, and we'll probably watch some of the game together. I don't know that we'll watch the entire game. It's it's a long evening. It doesn't start till what, 8 o'clock, 8:15 by the time they kick it off. So we might watch the first half and then let the boys go put it down.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we always appreciate not only the head basketball coach of the Tigers, but football analyst Brad Brownell being part of this show, don't you think?
No doubt.
Gotta be, man.
And of course, a shout out to M.H. Frank.
Yeah, M.H. Frank got a shout out.
Which means you'll be getting some free gear by the end of the week, which is always a good thing. So it all works out.
Yeah, that's good, Brad. Way to go.
It's been a great show.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, man.
Good luck, boys, Sarah. Having me on.
All right.
Come back to see us, Wes.
All right. Don't worry. I'll be back at some point.
Undefeated with Wes Durham at the call.
Yeah, Fuller ready to ride here.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Busy, busy show with guests, and we're not done. We now go on to our next one, which, again, I like him even more because he's unverified.
Oh, really? We're going to go there.
Every time. Yeah. Unverified. Luke Hancock joins us. Luke, how are you?
I'm doing good. Still unverified, too.
That's it, man. It's the way to roll.
I like it.
You saw Louisville last night. Needed really kind of a bounce back after last week. And they took care of business early, then held on. But get the W, you move on. But they really needed to take care of business at home, and they did.
And they did, yeah. They did it in prime fashion. They looked really good for almost the entire game. They had one little stretch where Miami made it close there in the second half. I think got it down to 4 or 5. But they were in control the whole game. I liked all the pieces. You know, they played pretty well all over the floor. I'd like to see them play a little bit better defense. I think people don't realize with this team, their pace of play is in the 300s. If teams score up around 70 points against Louisville, they're going to have a chance to win the game. Their last two losses, Florida State and Kentucky, both of them scored 78 points. And then in that Texas Tech game, I don't think anybody really played well, but Texas Tech scored 70 without their best player. Louisville is going to have to be a great defensive team to be one of the best teams in the country.
Luke, has it got to be more than Jordan Wara? I mean, I know he had the double-double last night with 19 and 12, but, you know, at times, and we talked about this last week, he didn't look like he wanted the ball at certain spots in the ball game. But does it always have to be Jordan Wara? Can it be two other guys? Can it be, you know, somebody else, or does he have to be in the combination for them to win?
You know, I think you bring up a great point. The better teams are going to be those teams with depth that are really multidimensional. You're seeing upsets with teams that are single dimension. You know, they only have one way to win. And luckily for this Louisville team, they have so much depth that they can score in a lot of different ways. They can lock up on defense in a lot of different ways. I think Chris Mack is starting to get that 9-ish man rotation down. And look at the box score. I mean, Stephen Enoch and Malik Williams played fantastic. You're starting to get better or more consistent contribution from guys like Darius Perry and Fresh Kimball. And I think that's what makes this team a danger to make a deep run. You know, they may not be playing as well as Duke, but at the same time, they're taking care of business and beating the teams they probably should beat, and they're still top 15, top 20 caliber. I think for them to make the next jump, you got to get not just consistent performances, but really good performances from that 1, 2, and 3 spot.
Luke, I don't think there's any doubt that Duke, Florida State, Louisville, we really kind of know about them right now at this point in time, but two blue bloods that you just kind of scratch your head a little bit. North Carolina and Virginia, the Hoos last night lose on the road at Boston College. How concerned are you? I mean, listen, we're now into January. This is not one of those, hey, I stubbed my toe in November. It's January. Are you concerned about both of them?
Big time. Big time. I don't know how you couldn't be concerned with those two teams in particular. You know, Roy Williams and Tony Bennett are two of the best to do it, two of the best coaches in the country, not just the ACC. But man, you look at that Boston College team being as beat up as they were. Derek Thornton doesn't play with an ankle injury. Nick Popovich, who's a double-double machine in this conference, hasn't played for about a month with back injuries. And Stephen Mitchell, their only other inside player, was having IVs, two IVs just to be able to play. Coach Christian didn't know if he was going to play till about 5 minutes before, and they find a way to win. I said it early on, this Virginia team, upset alert. You know, they're not shooting the ball very well. They're in the high 200s from three-point range. If you can take away, again, you need a multidimensional team to win, especially against the top of this conference. If they're not shooting the ball well, Mamadi Diakite, as good as he is just not going to be able to carry him. He got in a lot of foul trouble quick last night. I think he played maybe 4 minutes in that first half. And that's how Virginia's going to be able to lose games. They're not imposing their defensive will. Their losses to South Carolina and Boston College are head scratchers. You know, in that South Carolina game, they had 19 turnovers and they gave up 70 points. That's just not Virginia basketball. That's not Tony Bennett basketball. I think they've got a big time identity problem. Kihei Clark, you know, he was great as the fifth option on that team last year. But now that he has to run the show and create shots for everybody, it's just a different animal. Tony Bennett's mover blocker system has been plug in place, but they don't have the pieces right now. If they can't shoot the basketball, this team's just not as good.
Luca, the concerns at Carolina, and I said earlier in the show, I think if Carolina gets out of this, it's going to be because Garrison Brooks is going to lead them. I thought the game he had the other night against Georgia Tech, even in a losing effort, gave you signs of life for him. Is he the singular most important piece from where you sit?
I guess the single most healthy piece. You know, the question marks for me, if this team is able to make a run, are still centered around Cole Anthony. This team had to change their entire identity when he was out. Now you got Anthony Harris, who, you know, maybe you look at a box score and he's not quite as impactful as you would think, but he was an energy guy. Yep. They just seemed to play better when he was on the floor. Jeremiah Francis doesn't look like he's in shape or in flow just yet. I mean, you're talking about pieces that, you know, you weren't even mentioning at the beginning of the season. Garrison Brooks was incredible in that game, but he just had no help. He looked body language wise like he was just down and out. I haven't seen as, embarrassing of a performance in that first half from Roy Williams teams in ever, as long as I can remember. Thank goodness Garrison Brooks woke up and he's pleading with his teammates to try and get him going, but it was just, it wasn't Roy Williams-esque. They're going to have to get out on the in defensive passing lanes, create easier shots, and then play through Garrison Brooks. He's the most important healthy piece they have.
All right, I want to get into the deep dive of this league a little bit. And now, as Pac says, we've gotten enough of this to kind of at least see early personalities in conference play. The most important element for these teams. Now, I'm not talking about Duke or maybe even Louisville at this point, although Florida State, I think, has jumped Louisville into that two hole behind Duke for the time being. Is shooting still, and I'm asking a shooter, I understand this question. Is shooting still going to be the biggest differential going forward, or is there something else we're not seeing that maybe can help these teams make the bounce back?
That's a great question. I do think when you look at the top teams in the league, I agree with you, 1, 2, and 3 in whatever order you want to put them, Duke, Florida State, and Louisville, they all have one thing in common, and that's depth. On every night, they may not shoot the basketball, you know, great, but they're top 15 teams because of their depth. Both those teams can bring 9-10 guys into the game. Their defense is solid. You know, they have to shoot the ball well to be able to make a run, and I do think that's at a premium in this league. But Duke's depth and defense is why they're there. Same thing with Florida State and same thing with Louisville. I think that's what's kind of separating teams right now. When you look at Virginia last night, they only playing 7 guys. And when one guy's not playing great or 2 guys aren't playing great or maybe not shooting the ball well, they're toast. You know, they're going to be upset alert all year against the good teams in this league and even against the Boston Colleges of the league. And you can say whatever you want about them, but an unhealthy Boston College team like last night should never beat that Virginia team. But they can't shoot the basketball. They're not multidimensional and they're not deep like those top 3 teams in the league are.
All right, we'll close with this thought then. If we regard those 3 as the top, and we're talking about depth, if I'm Kevin Keats and I'm getting C.J. Bryce back in the lineup, that gives me a player or two more I can lean on. If I'm Georgia Tech and I'm getting healthy and I'm coming off the Carolina win despite playing Duke tonight, if I'm Notre Dame, even though I lost Carmody, I've got some pieces, certainly Mooney and the guards. if I'm Pittsburgh with McGowan's and Johnson and I got some post play and things like that, there is hope. I'm not saying there's givens, but there's hope for some of these teams that do have 9, potentially 10, certainly 8 guys in their working order then, right?
Yeah, but if you take into account the all of what I said, you know, depth, shooting, and defense, all those teams seem to have something really ailing them. When you look at Notre Dame, I don't think they have depth. I know Rex Pfluger went out last game. I haven't gotten a total update on where he's at, but they just don't have a ton of depth. So when their backcourt shoots it the way they did against, say, Indiana, and they go 0 for 11 from 3, they don't have a lot of other options. You know, it's John Mooney and a bunch of guys. If they're not shooting it well, they're in trouble.
Right.
When you look at NC State, their defense against Clemson was honestly pathetic. Clemson moved the ball so well against different defenses, and I get it. Coach Keats trying to get a couple things going in the break when you can do two-a-days and you can start to put in some different things. It just didn't work out. And C.J. Bryce kind of embodies who that team is. He's a guy coming from Wilmington that I think he runs the show the way Kevin Keats wants him to. And he's your leading scorer and rebounder. NC State's going to be fine, but they can't lose to Clemson and Wake Forest the way they have early on in this ACC slate. They need to beat the teams they're supposed to in the bottom half of the league and then try and upset some people at home. That's kind of been the recipe for ACC champs, unless you're going to do what Virginia did last year. Even in Louisville's case, you've got to win your home games and then try and go 50-50 against, you know, the top portion of the league. The teams you mentioned, I do think they have pieces and maybe they're capable of making a run. They're just not in the same level as those top three teams. And just to make another point, Duke is playing some fantastic basketball. I mean, they blew Miami out by 33. They were up 40 in the game before that. You know, we're one Tuesday night in Durham away from talking about nationally Duke as the best team in the country and then everybody else so far below them. You know, if they don't lose to Stephen F. Austin, they haven't, you know, that's their only loss in the season, and they haven't had a close game in a long time. The closest one last month against the number 11 team in the country, Michigan State, and they still won by, you know, 12 or 14 points. They've been playing absolutely incredible. And I talked to Coach L and his staff that they, after playing, you know, a Duke team, when you lose by 33, it's probably pretty easy to give them their props. But they even say Duke is national championship caliber this year.
Look, before we let you run, you mentioned both Notre Dame and NC State. They play tonight. And you mentioned NC State. You know, they lost to Clemson, lost at home earlier this year to start the season against Georgia Tech. You got to hold serve at home. Who do you like in that game, given the fact that Notre Dame really shot the ball well, making 15 threes against Syracuse over the weekend, and they're playing with a lot of confidence? But this is one of those kind of games that, in terms of the pecking order in the league, this is kind of a leapfrog game with Notre Dame and NC State.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I've seen a lot of projections that kind of have NC State as that next fifth team to get into the tournament. I look at this as a must win. I think it's going to be an intense environment at NC State. I think they're going to really try and impose some defensive will out there and just make Notre Dame a dribble drive team. If you run those guys off the 3-point line, they really change things. They've got the size inside to contend at least with John Mooney. He's been fantastic all year. You know, you're not necessarily going to stop him, but you got to slow him down. And then on the perimeter, if you eliminate the 3-point line or at least make them struggle from three, Notre Dame's a different basketball team. Again, you know, depth being one of the premier factors for winning games in this league. NC State has that, especially with C.J. Bryce healthy. In that last game, I was really taken back by Markell Johnson and some of his body language and decisions in that Clemson game. It just didn't seem like he was there, or motivated, or focused. It was kind of weird, and that NC State team goes as C.J. Bryce and Markell Johnson go.
All right, Luke, thanks as always. Appreciate the time. Have a great week.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
All right, Luke Hancock, one of our ACC and basketball analysts. Great stuff. By the way, Notre Dame has not gone through their shoot this morning. That's expected to occur. Ball game tonight on ESPN2, Mike Cousins and Seth Greenberg. Pfluger was regarded when they left South Bend as a game-time decision tonight with the bone bruise in the knee.
Well, hopefully he can go because Notre Dame has impressed me here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, when they lost to Boston College at home,
sure,
you're thinking, oh, boy, it's going to be a long year for Mike Bray.
Yep.
But for, like I said, for folks that watched that Syracuse-Notre Dame game Saturday, it was a really terrific game.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Busy, busy show with guests, and we're not done. We now go on to our next one, which, again, I like him even more because he's unverified.
Oh, really? We're going to go there. Right?
Every time. Yeah. Unverified. Luke Hancock joins us. Luke, how are you?
I'm doing good. Still unverified, too.
That's it, man. It's the way to roll.
I like it.
You saw Louisville last night. Needed really kind of a bounce back after last week. And they took care of business early, then held on. But get the W, you move on. But they really needed to take care of business at home, and they did.
And they did, yeah. They did it in prime fashion. They looked really good for almost the entire game. They had one little stretch where Miami made it close there in the second half. I think got it down to 4 or 5, but they were in control the whole game. I liked all the pieces. You know, they played pretty well all over the floor. I'd like to see them play a little bit better defense. I think people don't realize with this team, their pace of play is in the 300s. If teams score up around 70 points against Louisville, they're going to have a chance to win the game. Their last two losses, Florida State and Kentucky, both of them scored 78 points. And then in that Texas Tech game, I don't think anybody really played well, but Texas Tech scored 70 without their best player. Louisville is going to have to be a great defensive team to be one of the best teams in the country.
Luke, has it got to be more than Jordan Wara? I mean, I know he had the double-double last night with 19 and 12, but, you know, at times, and we talked about this last week, he didn't look like he wanted the ball at certain spots in the ball game. But does it always have to be Jordan Wara? Can it be two other guys? Can it be, you know, somebody else, or does he have to be in the combination for them to win?
You know, I think you bring up a great point. The better teams are going to be those teams with depth that are really multidimensional. You're seeing upsets with teams that are single dimension. You know, they only have one way to win. And luckily for this Louisville team, they have so much depth that they can score in a lot of different ways. They can lock up on defense in a lot of different ways. I think Chris Mack is starting to get that 9-ish man rotation down. And look at the box score. I mean, Stephen Enoch and Malik Williams played fantastic. You're starting to get better or more consistent contribution from guys like Darius Perry and Fresh Kimball. And I think that's what makes this team a danger to make a deep run. You know, they may not be playing as well as Duke, but at the same time, they're taking care of business and beating the teams they probably should beat, and they're still top 15, top 20 caliber. I think for them to make the next jump, you got to get not just consistent performances, but really good performances from that 1, 2, and 3 spot.
Luke, I don't think there's any doubt that Duke, Florida State, Louisville, we really kind of know about them right now at this point in time, but two blue bloods that you just kind of scratch your head a little bit. North Carolina and Virginia, the Hoos last night lose on the road at Boston College. How concerned are you? I mean, listen, we're now into January. This is not one of those, hey, I stubbed my toe in November. It's January. Are you concerned about both of them?
Big time. Big time. I don't know how you couldn't be concerned with those two teams in particular. You know, Roy Williams and Tony Bennett are two of the best to do it, two of the best coaches in the country, not just the ACC. But, man, you look at that Boston College team being as beat up as they were. Derek Thornton doesn't play with an ankle injury. Nick Popovich, who's a double-double machine in this conference, hasn't played for about a month with back injuries. And Stephen Mitchell, their only other inside player, was having IVs, two IVs just to be able to play. Coach Christian didn't know if he was going to play till about 5 minutes before, and they find a way to win. I said it early on, this Virginia team, upset alert. You know, they're not shooting the ball very well. They're in the high 200s from three-point range. If you can take away, again, you need a multidimensional team to win, especially against the top of this conference. If they're not shooting the ball well, Mamadi Diakite, as good as he is just not going to be able to carry him. He got in a lot of foul trouble quick last night. I think he played maybe 4 minutes in that first half. And that's how Virginia's going to be able to lose games. They're not imposing their defensive will. Their losses to South Carolina and Boston College are head scratchers. You know, in that South Carolina game, they had 19 turnovers and they gave up 70 points. That's just not Virginia basketball. That's not Tony Bennett basketball. I think they've got a big time identity problem. Kihei Clark, you know, he was great as the fifth option on that team last year. But now that he has to run the show and create shots for everybody, it's just a different animal. You know, Tony Bennett's mover blocker system has been plug in place, but they don't have the pieces right now. If they can't shoot the basketball, this team's just not as good.
Luca, the concerns at Carolina, and I said earlier in the show, I think if Carolina gets out of this, it's going to be because Garrison Brooks is going to lead them. I thought the game he had the other night against Georgia Tech, even in a losing effort, gave you signs of life for him. Is he the singular most important piece from where you sit?
I guess the single most healthy piece. You know, the question marks for me, if this team is able to make a run, are still centered around Cole Anthony. This team had to change their entire identity when he was out. Now you got Anthony Harris who, you know, maybe you look at a box score and he's not quite as impactful as you would think, but he was an energy guy. Yep. They just seemed to play better when he was on the floor. Jeremiah Francis doesn't look like he's in shape or in flow just yet. I mean, you're talking about pieces that, you know, you weren't even mentioning at the beginning of the season. Garrison Brooks was incredible in that game, but he just had no help. He looked body language wise like he was just down and out. I haven't seen as, you know, embarrassing of a performance in that first half from Roy Williams teams in ever, as long as I can remember. Thank goodness Garrison Brooks woke up and he's pleading with his teammates to try and get him going, but it was just, it wasn't Roy Williams-esque. They're going to have to get out on the in defensive passing lanes, create easier shots, and then play through Garrison Brooks. He's the most important healthy piece they have.
All right, I want to get into the deep dive of this league a little bit. And now, as Pac says, we've gotten enough of this to kind of at least see early personalities in conference play. The most important element for these teams. Now, I'm not talking about Duke or maybe even Louisville at this point, although Florida State, I think, has jumped Louisville into that two hole behind Duke for the time being. Is shooting still, and I'm asking a shooter, I understand this question, is shooting still going to be the biggest differential going forward, or is there something else we're not seeing that maybe can help these teams make the bounce back?
That's a great question. I do think when you look at the top teams in the league, I agree with you, 1, 2, and 3 in whatever order you want to put them, Duke, Florida State, and Louisville, they all have one thing in common, and that's depth. On every night, they may not shoot the basketball, you know, great, but they're top 15 teams because of their depth. Both those teams can bring 9, 10 guys into the game. Their defense is solid. You know, they have to shoot the ball well to be able to make a run, and I do think that's at a premium in this league. But Duke's depth and defense is why they're there. Same thing with Florida State and same thing with Louisville. I think that's what's kind of separating teams right now. When you look at Virginia last night, they only playing 7 guys. And when one guy's not playing great or 2 guys aren't playing great or maybe not shooting the ball well, they're toast. You know, they're going to be upset alert all year against the good teams in this league and even against the Boston Colleges of the league. And you can say whatever you want about them, but an unhealthy Boston College team like last night should never beat that Virginia team. But they can't shoot the basketball. They're not multidimensional and they're not deep like those top 3 teams in the league are.
All right, we'll close with this thought then. If we regard those 3 as the top, and we're talking about depth, if I'm Kevin Keats and I'm getting C.J. Bryce back in the lineup, that gives me a player or two more I can lean on. If I'm Georgia Tech and I'm getting healthy and I'm coming off the Carolina win despite playing Duke tonight, if I'm Notre Dame, even though I lost Carmody, I've got some pieces, certainly Mooney and the guards. If I'm Pittsburgh with McGowan's and Johnson and I got some post-play and things like that, there is hope. I'm not saying there's givens, but there's hope for some of these teams that do have 9, potentially 10, certainly 8 guys in their working order then, right?
Yeah, but if you take into account the all of what I said, you know, depth, shooting, and defense, all those teams seem to have something really ailing them. When you look at Notre Dame, I don't think they have depth. I know Rex Pfluger went out last game. I haven't gotten a total update on where he's at, but they just don't have a ton of depth. So when their backcourt shoots it the way they did against, say, Indiana, and they go 0-for-11 from 3, they don't have a lot of other options. You know, it's John Mooney and a bunch of guys. If they're not shooting it well, they're in trouble.
Right.
When you look at NC State, their defense against Clemson was honestly pathetic. Clemson moved the ball so well against different defenses, and I get it. Coach Keats trying to get a couple things going in the break when you can do 2-a-days and you can start to put in some different things. It just didn't work out. And C.J. Bryce kind of embodies who that team is. He's a guy coming from Wilmington that I think he runs the show the way Kevin Keats wants him to. And he's your leading scorer and rebounder. NC State's going to be fine, but they can't lose to Clemson and Wake Forest the way they have early on in this ACC slate. They need to beat the teams they're supposed to in the bottom half of the league and then try and upset some people at home. That's kind of been the recipe for ACC champs, unless you're going to do what Virginia did last year. Even in Louisville's case, you've got to win your home games and then try and go 50-50 against, you know, the top portion of the league. The teams you mentioned, I do think they have pieces and maybe they're capable of making a run. They're just not in the same level as those top 3 teams. And just to make another point, Duke is playing some fantastic basketball. I mean, they blew Miami out by 33. They were up 40 in the game before that. You know, we're one Tuesday night in Durham away from talking about nationally Duke as the best team in the country and then everybody else so far below them. You know, if they don't lose to Stephen F. Austin, they haven't, you know, that's their only loss in the season and they haven't had a close game in a long time. The closest one last month against the number 11 team in the country, Michigan State, and they still won by, you know, 12 or 14 points. They've been playing absolutely incredible. And I talked to Coach L, and his staff that they, after playing, you know, a Duke team, when you lose by 33, it's probably pretty easy to give them their props, but they even say Duke is national championship caliber this year.
Luke, before we let you run, you mentioned both Notre Dame and NC State. They play tonight. And you mentioned NC State, you know, the loss to Clemson, lost at home earlier this year to start the season against Georgia Tech. You got to hold serve at home. Who do you like in that game, given the fact that Notre Dame really shot the ball well, making 15 threes against Syracuse over the weekend, and are playing with a lot of confidence? But this is one of those kind of games that, in terms of the pecking order in the league, this is kind of a leapfrog game with Notre Dame and NC State.
Absolutely. And I've seen a lot of projections that kind of have NC State as that next fifth team to get into the tournament. I look at this as a must win. I think it's going to be an intense environment at NC State. I think they're going to really try and impose some defensive will out there and just make Notre Dame a dribble drive team. If you run those guys off the 3-point line, they really change things. They've got the size inside to contend at least with John Mooney. He's been fantastic all year. You don't, you're not necessarily going to stop him, but you got to slow him down. And then on the perimeter, if you eliminate the 3-point line or at least make them struggle from three, Notre Dame's a different basketball team. Again, you know, depth being one of the premier factors for winning games in this league, NC State has that, especially with C.J. Bryce healthy. In that last game, I was really taken back by Markell Johnson and some of his body language and decisions in that Clemson game. It just didn't seem like he was there, motivated or focused. It was kind of weird, and that NC State team goes as C.J. Bryce and Markell Johnson go.
All right, Luke, thanks as always. Appreciate the time. Have a great week.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
All right, Luke Hancock, one of our ACC and basketball analysts. Great stuff. By the way, Notre Dame has not gone through their shoot this morning. That's expected to occur. Ball game tonight on ESPN2, Mike Cousins and Seth Greenberg. Pfluger was regarded when they left South Bend as a game-time decision tonight with the bone bruise in the knee.
Well, hopefully he can go because Notre Dame has impressed me here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, when they lost to Boston College at home,
sure,
you're thinking, oh, boy, it's going to be a long year for Mike Bray.
Yep.
But for, like I said, for folks that watched that Syracuse-Notre Dame game Saturday, it was a really terrific game.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
It's a wonder we work on January the 8th.
We do. We work every day. Sick, not sick.
The great Gary Busey and DC Cab. I don't work on January the 8th.
Well, we are.
That's Elvis's birthday.
All right. It's been a very entertaining show. Loaded with guests today. Great job by everybody back up in Bristol. Angela rocking today. Josh and Drew always rocking there on top of it. And also a shout out to the back row. Lewis, Mike, and Rachel today. Ezzy back in the radio room and Brian in the back room.
All right. Basketball tonight on this channel. Doubleheader action coming up for you. We get you started in Chapel Hill. Dave O'Brien, Jordan Cornett will be courtside for Pitt and Carolina. And then, actually, I'm sorry, Corey Alexander. It's Corey Alexander with Dave tonight. Notre Dame NC State on 7:30 on ESPN2. 7 o'clock ESPN2, Mike Cousins, Seth Greenberg. Wake in Florida State is 7:30 at Joel Coliseum on the ACC NX. And then Duke, Georgia Tech, Matt Schick and Dan Bonner on the ACC Network at 9 o'clock from McCamish Pavilion.
Another night of making accounting difficult for Monday is what it is.
All right. Our touching pictures of the week. Did you find this?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't?
I have nothing. I have nothing to do with whatever you're
talking about. I saw this picture, and it came through the files yesterday on our show prep.
I didn't even see that.
Look at this. Look at the Christmas sweater with the Jordan Santa for Leonard Hamilton.
Man, look at Leonard Hamilton.
Leonard Hamilton looks 30 years old.
He is 30 years old.
I think Leonard should wear that on sidelines. Don't you?
You know what? If he did, he'd still look good in it.
He'd look good in it.
Yeah.
Huh. I like the sweater, too. Jordan Santa Claus.
Maybe go out.
He is 70? There's no chance.
Oh, he's 71.
There's no chance.
Maybe you need to call MH Frank down here in Clemson and see if they got that sweater in style. May have it in stock.
I don't know. Drew Brooks, our producer, is looking for the purple pullover right now from MH Frank.
All right.
Yesterday, we got another box?
Yesterday I got a delivery.
Okay.
I had no earthly idea where it was coming from.
Yeah.
And I opened it up and just looked in and just, I kind of stopped. And it was one of those things. I opened it up and went, oh, all right, I'm going to keep it for the show.
Sure.
So the note, which is right here. I always give you the fun stuff to open up. I read the notes. This comes from the Florida Citrus Sports people. All right. This is our buddy, Jill Mickle, who listens and watches religiously. Happy New Year, Mark. Meant to send these to you guys early in the month of December. Bowl season just got in the way. Sure is exciting for our Clemson Tigers. Jill, of course, is a Clemson alum. Hope to run into you in New Orleans. Just worked with Tom Luganville on the Citrus Bowl and told him how much I enjoy hearing him on SiriusXM and, of course, ACC Network. And I had some friends and yada, yada, yada. There it is. Hi to Amy, my wife. So there you go. Citrus Bowl gear. All right.
Got Camping World Bowl shirt, too.
Camping World.
We got three of them.
All right. There it is. So thanks to Jill.
So what game did Luges do?
Luges.
Well, Wes got a note.
There you go. Right there.
So which one of these are we giving to Luges?
Whatever you want to do. Give him all of them if he wants.
No, you get one of these because this is what you're going to wear to the salt pad.
You know what? I think we should send.
We'll give Luges a citrus.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send. No, you're going to like this idea. I'm going to send my shirt, my citrus bowl, to Peter Burns. Because, number one, he likes golf. Number two, his team played in that bowl.
No, he says his team's playing Monday night.
Whatever. I mean, but, you know, it doesn't really. The ACC wasn't involved in the Citrus Bowl.
That's right.
That was the SEC and the Big Ten.
Right.
So I'm going to send my shirt to Peter Burns because he's a big golfer. He'll like all that Citrus Bowl stuff. So there you go. That's the ACC Network helping out the SEC Network.
We are building bridges.
I mean,
there's no question. We've been building bridges since we went on the air in August.
But thanks to Jill and the folks at the Florida Citrus Bowl.
Tell everybody we said hello down there. Great people.
Yep, no doubt.
All right, so Luges is coming in. What day is that, boys?
Friday.
All right, so we're gonna have a shirt ready for Luges and a ceremonial presentation of it.
Yeah, I'll pack that and give it to. I guess Peter will be down there. I have no idea. I don't know who's going down there for the SEC Network, but we'll see those guys.
Really?
I mean, I don't know who's going there. I assume they're all going to be there. Yeah. Okay. Whoever wants it, whatever SEC guy wants to showcase their Citrus Bowl championship, they can wear it. Be nice.
What are you laughing at? I'm thinking about the Spurrier line.
What's that?
Can't spell citrus without UT.
Well, and that was accurate, too. Ball coach was right about that. I mean, if we were sent Gator Bowl stuff, I would send it to my brother. He's a big Tennessee guy.
What a show.
There you go.
What a cool show stuff we had today, huh?
We got stuff. Voices coming back slowly but surely.
You better hurry. New Orleans is coming.
I'm going to be very quiet at 10:01 a.m. I'm going to be just like yesterday. I'm just going
to
shut
salt
it down.
Salt pad today? Going to salt pad?
I don't know. I don't know if you can do salt pad back to back. It might not be good for the system.
Oh, is that what you're going to go with, big medical guy you are?
I'm going to be very quiet, though, 10:01. So if you see me in public and say, hey, Pat, what's going on? If I give you a thumbs up, you know I'm just trying to keep quiet to save the voice.
Thanks to Grace Rayner. Thanks to Jeff Halfley. Really enjoyed our visit with the new BC football coach.
Looking forward to meeting him, too, by the way.
The coveted invite, Katie George. She's also a little under the weather.
Yeah.
Brad Brownell, basketball coach, football analyst.
Breaking it down.
Yeah. And Luke Hancock. And Joe Forte.
Joe Forte, which I loved. Ooh. The one thing I learned today is the impeccable 1001, 1002. You got to keep on the plane, too.
Is that right?
And the fact that he threw out Jimmy Buffett without knowing who the guy was, I have even more respect now for Joe Forte than ever before.
Yeah.
Impressive.
And congratulations to the people at MH Frank and Clemson who provided Brad Brownell that purple pullover that is straight fire. And Drew Brooks is like,
you're working
dying
it.
To have one.
Dr. Brooks?
Dr. Brooks, yeah, your doctor. He's in charge of your medical condition.
That place has been there, like I said, it's been there for 40 years at least.
Yeah. By the way, if you missed any of the show, sit tight. The Rewind starts next on ACC Network. Thanks to those of you who have started to download and listen to the podcast on a regular basis. We appreciate that. Thanks to everybody listening, as always, on SiriusXM 371.
ACC channel. Yep. Love those guys.
Tomorrow on this show,
busy
by the way,
tomorrow, too.
Yes, we are. Marvin Wilson makes his triumphant return to this program.
He was great the first time.
The big inside D tackle of the Seminoles. Tar Heel legend. 00. See you later, Big Grits. Eric Montross joins us. All that and more. Packer and Durham. Crank it up on a Thursday at 7 a.m. We'll see you then. Have a great day.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.